Welcome to Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. My name is Marguerite Paquin, and I've been working with the Maya calendar for some 30 years and providing an online horoscope relating to that calendar for many of those years. I've been thinking about providing a podcast to go along with that horoscope for a while now, but given what's going on in the world at the moment, it seems that many might be seeking more insight into what's happening from an energy perspective, and this is where the Maya calendar can help. Tied in with this, of course, is how these energies relate to personal lives. By way of introduction, I'll start with a brief overview of how the calendar works, and then we'll look at what's happening during this current time zone. At the heart of the system is a cycle of 260 days, representing interconnections between 20 unique days, or day sign forces, seen traditionally as emanations from the sun, in combination with 13 unique numerical powers or numerical forces. This creates a Dzogchen or count of days that continuously cycle. To the Maya, the word kin means day, as well as sun and time. So Dzogchen is a count of days. This count is referred to by many different names, or called many different names, in the Maya world. Even today, there are at least 32 different Maya languages, so the days and the count itself would have different names depending on where you are. I'm referencing the Yucatec language here and work with the classical system of timekeeping, which includes something called the long count. More on that on another podcast. Getting back to the 260 days, since these days were seen as energetic forces, they were seen as intimately connected with events that unfold in the world, from the birth of a child who would take on the imprint of the energies in place at the time of birth, to whatever is happening in the world at large. From the perspective of this calendar, everyone, everywhere, carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in place at the time of their birth. And those energies greatly influence how people see and interact in the world. For example, the jaguar, which is associated with magic. There are many, many different ways of looking at these energies and many different ways of using them in the world. So we will be looking at those kinds of things within the context of this podcast. For anyone wondering about that, didn't the Maya calendar come to an end on December 21st, 2012 question? The answer is absolutely not. That was a myth perpetuated by those who knew very little about the calendar, particularly the media at large. December 21st, 2012 was the Gregorian date that coincided with the conclusion of a very large cycle of time associated with the Maya long count and the beginning of a new cycle within this same system. It should have been a time for great celebration rather than a time of fear. Going back again to the basics, it's the Dzogchen, the basic ongoing cycle of 260 days that I'll be focusing on within this podcast. This is broken into 20 different 13-day time frames called tresinas, kind of like a 13-day week, each of which has a theme. The posts that are provided in my online horoscope are oriented around these themes. Each one has what the classic Maya would call a patron or overseer for the time period. And sometimes there are two. Aztec and Mixtec sources have also added to known information about the nature of these patron energies, as thousands of Maya books were burned at the time of conquest, so a great deal of information was lost. The system as a whole has been reconstructed over a very long period of time by many dedicated researchers, using whatever information could be salvaged from that dreadful time. And from a personal perspective, since I've been tracking this system for a very long time, readily observable information also provides its own testimony. I'll be highlighting more of this system in future podcasts, and I'll also be adding some educational packages in future for those who might want to dive deeper. So let's get down to business with regard to what's currently going on. In following this Maya calendrical system, we're working with something quite different from Western astrology. We're not dealing with planetary positions or planetary influences here. This is about our connections with the Sun. Deeper or higher levels of the long count do include cycles within cycles, basically multiple layers of influence. But for our purposes here, we're looking primarily at the way the Zulkan cycles, and we're focusing on the days within a particular trisena, in this case, the Ik trisena. That's spelled I-K apostrophe, but pronounced Ik. This is a 13-day period traditionally associated with wind, breath, and spirit, and even high magic. The first day of any time period begins with an initiating energy represented by Ishel, the moon goddess, the goddess of number one. You'll hear many deities mentioned within this system as they work basically as metaphors pertaining to the nature of the energy. Getting to know who they are is a big part of learning to understand this system. So as this Ik trisena begins, we find the moon goddess working with Ehikat, who represents wind, breath, and spirit. This is a very important deity within the Aztec pantheon, who is a variant of the great feathered serpent Quetzalcoatl, also known as Kukulkan to the Maya. For every trisena, whatever is in place at the beginning influences each of the other days that follow. So in this case, whatever Ehikat is bringing in will also influence the rest of the time frame. Think of it as a kind of energy wave that washes through all 13 days of the period. In this case, we have to keep Ehikat in mind as we go through this. He's distinctly recognizable within the pantheon of deities because he's the one who wears a duck-billed mask that symbolizes the wind. So here we are in the middle of a trisena related to wind, breath, and spirit, overseen by a deity who figuratively represents the wind, at a time when millions of people the world over are wearing masks as protection against something that is carried by the breath. Images of Ehikat generally show him wearing a conch shell pectoral called a wind jewel, and he sometimes carries a serpent, a symbol that's often associated with healing and medicine. In my blog, in my horoscope blog, I make mention of the rod of Asclepius, which is a serpent-entwined staff wielded by the Greek god Asclepius, who is a deity associated with healing and medicinal arts. This staff is used as a symbol for many health-oriented organizations, including the World Health Organization. It's the serpent's ability to shed its skin and renew itself that's the key concept here, in addition to its ancient connection with alchemy. I have a little more about all of that in the blog, so you can go there to have a further look. Another important entity or force that can be thought of as working with each of the 13 days is the patron of the trisena, or overseer of this time period. In this case, this is Chantico, the goddess of the hearth fire, associated with cooking, domesticity, and the comforts of home. It's interesting to see her in place at this time, with everyone hunkered down in their homes and cozying up to their own hearth fires. Right now, as I speak, it's April 11th, Maya Day 7 Lamat, in the middle of this Ik Trisina. This is a heralding type of force, another aspect of Quetzalcoatl, aligned with Venus. Symbolically, it may seem a little confusing because the Aztecs depict this day as a rabbit, and the Maya show it as a star, representative of Venus. But Venus hops around the sky like a rabbit, so that's one way to make this connection. Indeed, at this moment, Venus is making a spectacular appearance as the evening star, and even managed to conjunct the Pleiades a few days ago. She also lined up beautifully with the stars in Orion's belt and with Sirius, the dog star, the other evening. It was quite a show. In the U.S., it's being reported that this weekend marks the beginning of tornado season, which is interesting since 7 Lamat in particular has brought forth many historical hurricanes in the past, particularly when Venus is prominent in the sky. This energy, right in the middle of this wind trisina, has been known to churn up tornadoes as well, so fingers crossed here, as it's looking like this could be the start of some severe weather along these lines over the next few days, possibly even strong, long-tracking tornadoes in the southeast. A couple of days before this, a bomb cyclone hit the northeast and brought a large snowstorm to many parts of the U.S. and eastern Canada. Not fun for early April. When I first posted this Trisina on April 5th, I made mention of some of the huge storms that have happened in the past during this period. But at that time, I didn't know if anything of this nature was coming in at this time. I should have known, because it never seems to fail. The very next day, on 2 Akbal, boom, there it was, a Category 5 cyclone, Cyclone Harold, hit the Pacific island nation of Vanuatu, just as that nation was trying to prepare for the COVID-19 outbreak. Most news reports overlooked this because of the focus on the pandemic, but for that nation, this was a catastrophic hit. It's the kind of thing that's not unusual for this wind trisina. At this midpoint, the global number of COVID-19 cases was close to 1.8 million. With over 108,000 deaths reported and over 400,000 recoveries, the U.S. number of cases climbed to over 533,000, with over 180,000 cases in New York, and the U.S. death total was over 20,000. Spain also had over 160,000 cases, Italy over 152,000, and France and Germany both over 125,000 cases. This day marked the point where, for the first time, all 50 U.S. states were under disaster declaration, with Wyoming becoming the last state to get on board with this. When I was checking these statistics, I also noticed that just after 7 Lamat came in this morning, the world's population reached over 7,777,000,000. Incredibly, within the day or two of that count will feature sevens in all 10 positions. So 7 Lamat is certainly living up to its reputation as a herald. And the speed at which this global population is growing is truly alarming. Not that we need anything else to be worried about, but there it is. Now, just backing up for a moment to the second day of the Trisina, which was 2 Akbal, that's an energy often associated with deep earth mysteries. That's the Maya birth energy of the famed mystery writer Dame Agatha Christie, the author of 66 detective novels such as Murder on the Orient Express and The Mystery of the Blue Train, and 14 short story collections, as well as the world's longest-running play, The Mousetrap. Agatha was also the subject of a mystery of her own in 1926, when she disappeared for several days, but was eventually discovered at a Harrogate hotel, registered under the name of her husband's mistress. Her marriage didn't last long after that, and a couple of years after her divorce, she married an archaeologist. Her adventures with him took her into realms associated with ancient mysteries, around which many of her following stories revolve. People born under this kind of influence, sometimes associated with darkness and hidden things, are often good at digging deeply into ideas. They often have a strong interest in things that others might perhaps overlook. In terms of world events, things of a hidden nature can sometimes be exposed under this influence, which happened 2 years ago when Robert Mueller indicted 13 Russians for election interference. Three of them were accused of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and five were accused of aggravated identity theft. Three Russian companies were also named in that 37-page indictment. That same day, additional criminal conduct charges for things like bank fraud were brought against Paul Manafort, who has since been thrown in jail. This time, Tu Akbal brought the recovery of the body of Maeve Kennedy Townsend McKean, Robert Kennedy's granddaughter, after she and her son went missing in a canoe accident 3 days earlier. Her 8-year-old son's body was recovered 3 days later. The first day of this Tresina brought us an address by Queen Elizabeth when she thanked the people of the UK for staying safe at home and cooperating at this time. That was the day before the UK's Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, was taken into intensive care in hospital for COVID-19. The day after that was Three Khan, which was Queen Elizabeth's Maya birth energy and also World Health Day. That particular energy is often associated with great over-the-top wealth. And this time, this happened to be the Gregorian birthday of China's god of wealth. In Taiwan, it was the birthday of the god of medicine. The fourth day of this time frame, which was April the 8th, was something called a burner day in the Maya calendar. This one brings together the energies of the sun with the life force energy of Chikchan, so it can be a very strong energy push when working with these wind forces as well. This time, the number of COVID-19 cases surged to over 1.5 million. And that was also the day when Bernie Sanders suspended his presidential campaign, clearing the way for Joe Biden to become the Democratic nominee. When this was in place last July, the U.S. Senate passed a bill to extend the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund through to 2090 to cover the medical expenses of first responders, volunteers, and survivors who were injured in the attacks. Toxic dust was one of the legacies which affected an estimated 400,000 people, up to 80,000 of whom rushed to the aid of victims when New York's Twin Towers fell. So we're now at Easter weekend in the middle of Holy Week. Religious leaders everywhere are having to address congregations through technology at this time, as churches, even St. Peter's in the Vatican, are empty as people self-isolate to fight this pandemic. This is all such a bizarre and previously unthinkable situation. At this time, the Jewish celebration of Passover is encompassed within this entire time frame, so those celebrations are also being done differently. Within the midst of all of this, the escalating death rate definitely places emphasis on spirit at this time as well. Not only are large numbers of people succumbing to this dreadful disease, but healthcare workers and so many others are risking their lives to fulfill essential services. In this regard, this tracina can work well as a vehicle for prayers to be sent to all. For those not used to attending to this kind of spiritual focus, including the sending of good wishes and much needed support, for all those on the front lines, it's time for a major change in attitude as everyone is being called to cooperate at this critical time. Moving ahead a bit, one of the most powerful days within this particular tracina is Nine Oak, which has a strong connection with Chantico, the patron of this tracina as a whole, and to the hearth fire that is one of her symbols. Can be a fiery energy, but can also bring much warmth, which is why its Maya glyph is representative of a dog. Love, loyalty, and guidance are very much connected with this, and any actions that tie in with this often have long-lasting effect. This is also an energy associated with high magic, and many creative magicians have been born under this influence. Mark Twain was one of them. Samuel Langhorne Clemens, whose pen name was Mark Twain, was born under the influence of Nine Oak in 1835. A writer, humorist, entrepreneur, publisher, and lecturer, he has been lauded as the greatest humorist the U.S. has produced. Nobel laureate William Faulkner called him the father of American literature. Included among his many works are novels such as The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, written in 1876, and its sequel, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, which has been called the Great American Novel, which is interesting since it's written in the voice of the uneducated, superstitious, rascally little son of the town drunkard, who's often deceived by tall tales. Anyway, as Mark Twain, Samuel was a master storyteller, using his Nine Oak energy to warm people's hearts and whisk them away from daily trials and tribulations through the adventures of his enduring characters. The wind, breath, spirit aspects of his birth energy served him well. Of special note was the fact that he was born shortly after the appearance of Halley's Comet, and he predicted that he would go out with it as well. He died the day after the comet returned. And as it happens, the 110th Gregorian anniversary of his death in 1910 comes in during the very next tracina. And as it happened, I just saw a comet, a shooting star, just a few nights ago when I was looking at Venus's alignment with Orion. The shooting star went right into the belt of Orion. Here's a small excerpt from one of Mark Twain's tales. This is from something called Some Learned Fables for Good Old Boys and Girls. Once the creatures of the forest held a great convention and appointed a commission consisting of the most illustrious scientists among them to go forth, clear beyond the forest and out into the unknown and unexplored world, to verify the truth of the matters already taught in their schools and colleges, and also to make discoveries. It was the most imposing enterprise of the kind the nation had ever embarked in. True, the government had once sent Dr. Bull Frog with a picked crew to hunt for a northwesterly passage through the swamp to the right-hand corner of the wood, and had since set out many expeditions to hunt for Dr. Bull Frog, but they never could find him, and so government finally gave him up and ennobled his mother to show its gratitude for the services her son had rendered to science. And once government sent Sir Grasshopper to hunt for the sources of the rill that emptied into the swamp, and afterwards sent out many expeditions to hunt for Sir Grass, They at last were successful. They found his body. But if he had discovered the sources meantime, he did not let on. So government acted handsomely by deceased, and many envied his funeral. But these expeditions were trifles compared with the present one, for this one comprised among its servants the very greatest among the learned. And besides, it was to go to the utterly unvisited regions believed to lie beyond the mighty forest. As we have remarked before, how the members were banqueted and glorified and talked about. Everywhere that one of them showed himself, straightway there was a crowd to gape and stare at him. Finally, they set out, and it was a sight to see the long procession of dry land tortoises, heavily laden with savants, scientific instruments, glowworms and fireflies for signal services, provisions, ants and tumblebugs to fetch and carry and delve, spiders to carry the surveying chain and do other engineering duty, and so forth and so on. And after the tortoises came along, another long train of ironclads, stately and spacious mud turtles for marine transportation service. And from every tortoise and every turtle flaunted a flaming gladiolus and other splendid banner. At the head of the column, a great band of bumblebees, mosquitoes, katydids, and crickets discoursed martial music. And the entire train was under the escort and protection of 12 picked regiments of army worm. At the end of 3 weeks, the expedition emerged from the forest and looked upon the great unknown world. Their eyes were greeted with an impressive spectacle. A vast level plain stretched before them, watered by a sinuous stream, and beyond there towered up against the sky a long and lofty barrier of some kind. They did not know what. So Mark Twain was truly a magician with words. Returning now, let's go back to another event that has happened under the same Nine Oak energy. We're going to go back a couple of Zolkin cycles ago, so that would be November 2018. And at that time, there were World War I commemoration events going on in Europe. So it was on a Nine Oak day at that time when French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Angela Merkel basically clasped hands at a solemn ceremony at Compiègne, the site where Marshal Ferdinand Foch, the supreme commander of the Western Front during World War I, signed the 1918 ceasefire agreement with Germany. They were commemorating the centenary of the World War I armistice signing. That was the first time that leaders from these two countries had met at that historic site since 1940. The U.S. president was invited or scheduled to be there as well, and it was raining and he couldn't be bothered, something that didn't go unnoticed by political commentators. Anyway, on that same day, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau visited the Vimy Ridge War Memorial and laid a wreath in honor of those who had served in that campaign. So this is the kind of heart-centered event that often is aligned with the Nine Oak energy. I should also mention that U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams, who was appointed to be on the task force to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic in the U.S., was also born on Nine Oak. He is an anesthesiologist and vice admiral in the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps. That anesthesiology specialty would certainly reflect influences aligned with this Nine Oak energy as well. Okay, so these are some of the energies that we're working with right now during this Trisena. and my blog fills in some of the gaps. The next time this Yggdrasina appears, it will be in place around late December, going into the beginning of next year. So this is an example of one of the Trisinas that can, at this time, is come in twice this year. Very often, a Trisina will only appear once, but once in a while, a Trisina will come in at the beginning of the year, the first few months of the year, and then will show up again towards the end of the year. So we're looking at a 9-month time frame. I should also emphasize that during these extremely challenging times, I'm providing this information as a general service to provide a touch point for people to follow as we journey through this difficult period and beyond. My long-term experience in observing how the day sign energies cycle within this system has shown me that not only do world events and occurrences within personal lives frequently dovetail with the nature or essence of those day sign forces, but there are often echoes of past events or occurrences that can be detected when the same energies return in new cycles. I point this out in my horoscope blog whenever something like this shows up. One of the most recent things I noticed in this recent has to do with the UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson. He became Prime Minister on the fifth day of this Trisina last July. That was 5 Kimi, a game-changing, basically a marker kind of energy, that during this current Yig Trisina marked the 100th day since China alerted the World Health Organization about the coronavirus. At that time, which was last Thursday, April 9th, Boris was just coming out of intensive care in a hospital in London. If things had gone wrong, there is a likelihood that he could have died from the coronavirus exactly one cycle after he assumed office. He's under close observation in the hospital right now, but it looks like he made it through. This is the kind of thing that often happens when one cycle or two cycles after an event, something happens or something will happen that would be of a significance for a particular person or in conjunction with some kind of an event. Within the context of my horoscope blog and also through this podcast, I'll often make mention of ways in which particular energies influence events or play a role in some prominent lives. For example, looking at the birth energy of some historical figure and highlighting how their birth energy has factored into their lives and how they've used it to make their contributions to the world. But the specifics of how these energies are working in someone's life on deeper levels can only be addressed by working with individuals directly. Every person's working with their own particular set of energies that tie in with events and other people in their own individual lives, as in the example from Boris Johnson that I just mentioned. Looking at these can only really be done on a one-to-one basis. I should mention that for any given day, there are actually layers and layers of energies working together, so that even though we have this ongoing cycle of 260 basic energies, the overall signature of a day, when it gets right down to any particular person or even any specific pinpoint in time, would involve looking carefully at these other layers. This is where the uniqueness of individuals comes in. If you find, for example, that you were born on the same Dzogchen day as someone else, you might find that there are many similarities between you, but you might also find many differences, because the other layers of influence, again, can be quite influential and bring a whole array of other variables into the mix. One of these is the Maya month and the cycle called calendar round. Even though it only takes 260 days to go through the Dzogchen, the foundational count of days, it takes 52 years to cycle through the next layer, which includes this connection with the Maya month. I mention this occasionally in the blog when I talk about a new fire anniversary, which relates to that 52-year cycle. That time in a person's life can often be quite dramatic or profound. I love the quote by Agatha Christie when she said, "I have greatly enjoyed the second blooming. Suddenly you find at the age of 50, say, that a whole new life has opened before you." That's Agatha tapping into her new fire. It often starts to be felt around age 50 and definitely by the time a person gets to their 52nd year. As you may have noticed, certain numbers come up often within this system, including 13, the number of days in a trisena, 20, the number of days in a Maya week, as in the 20 foundational day signs, and 52, which is a fractal of the Dzogchen and an important number in terms of energy cycling. For those for whom all this is new or relatively new, a good way to gain more familiarity with this system above and beyond the thumbnail overviews that you often see might be to follow along with my blog and or with these podcasts as we go through the days and trisenas. For those listening to this from somewhere other than my website, you can find my Maya Count of Days horoscope either by going to whitepuppress.ca, that's whitepuppress.ca, and clicking on horoscope blog, or going to mayacalendararts.com and clicking on horoscope blog. That site includes other information on Maya Calendrix, some posts that I've written about topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, some things that I offer, such as coaching services and even artworks that we do that tie in with this. It also takes us into the realm of Maya hieroglyphics, which is a large and fascinating subject on its own. For those of you who are already familiar with this system, hopefully this podcast will expand your understanding as we continue to explore this field and work through things together. For anyone who might like some assistance from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, there are a number of options, some of which are outlined in that Maya Calendar Arts site. I've not included all possibilities there because I like to leave some room for customizing things according to people's interests, and even tailoring things in line with people's budgets, if that's needed, especially given the current conditions. Feel free, if you wish, to ask if you have any questions about this. There's contact information in the websites that I just mentioned. What I can share, however, is that even after working with this for 30 years, I never cease to be amazed at how the Dzogchen can help us to make sense of what's going on. It can help people to get to know themselves better. It can help them to understand what's happening in terms of family dynamics and other relationships. It can give insights into personal skills and natural abilities, insights that can be used to make career adjustments and other important decisions. It's fascinating to see how it works, whether one is conscious of it or not. I even found that our wonderful canine companion, who was with us for 16 glorious years, was completely in tune with these energies. She always astonished us with the way she was so in sync with what was going on. She taught us a great deal. One of the things that I found particularly useful is to use the count of days for what I call life path mapping, looking at personal energy cycles associated with the Dzogchen, so that you can become aware of patterns and things like opportune times to do things. Both short-term and long-term cycles factor into this, and getting to know how they work within your life can be quite insightful. If that's of any interest to you, I'd be happy to provide some guidance or coaching in that regard. Lastly, if you haven't already done so, feel free to subscribe to the horoscope blog accessible through my websites if you would like to receive automatic updates every 13 days. You can access this sign-up form from either site. There's also another sign-up form there if you wish to receive other related information, particularly related to the podcast or other general postings about this topic. So thanks for joining me on this new podcast journey. We'll see where it takes us. I will become a little more familiar with how to work this technology as we go, but hopefully this one worked as well. The Tushina that comes in next is called Men, representing the energy of the eagle. That will be posted in my blog on April 18th, and the podcast will be out shortly thereafter. Until then, please be safe. I send love to you all. Bye for now.